Today's daf is Mi'ila daf Gimel, and we are 8 lines from the bottom of daf Beis Amid Beis Lema Tanina. Today's daf is being learned as a Schus Refuah Shalema for Shlomo Ben Tzara Aliza. So yesterday, we began Mesechtes Mi'ila. So again, the parish of Mi'ila is mentioned 3 psukim in the Torah, in parashas Vayikra. The pasuk says, Nefesh ki simoil mal v'chata b'shkaga mikotche Hashem. If somebody is moil in hektish, the pasuk is clearly talking about someone that did a b'shaigig, as it says, v'chata b'shkaga, says the Torah, he needs kapara. What he needs to do is bring a karban asham. Additionally, he has to make hektish whole for the mi'ila, plus he has to tack on to that a chaymish. What if someone's moil behektish bemezid? It's a machloikis Rebbe in the Chachamim. According to Rebbe, he's chayiv misa b'dei shamayim, not karis misa b'dei shamayim. According to the Chachamim, he's going to only get malchus. What exactly is mi'ila? So in the pasuk it says, it's very unclear. Rashi says, shenena min hahektish. It means that someone had hana from hektish. Hektish is supposed to be off limits. One is not allowed to personally benefit from hektish. If someone personally benefited from hektish, he's considered a moil. The parasha mi'ila is going to trigger. Stating that, the pasuk says that the halachas of mi'ila doesn't relate to all kachim. When does it relate? If the kachim can be deemed as kachay Hashem. Rashi says, what does kachay Hashem mean? Kachim that's miyuchadim Lashem. Yatsu kachim kalim. Yesterday we went into it in the introduction in great detail and said that kachay Hashem means where it's miyuchet HaKadosh Baruch Hu, meaning that there's no kohen, there's no bailim, there's nobody that's going to have any chelik in this kachim. So kachim bedek habayis, for example, that's easy. That, of course, is going to be kachay Hashem. In the world of kachay mizbeach, it's a little trickier because there were certain karbonos where a chelik of it was given to the kayanim, a chelik of it was given to the bailim. So how would you know whether to deem kachay mizbeach as kachay Hashem, that it's miyuchadim Lashem? Of course it's Lashem, but that it's miyuchad Lashem, or if it's not miyuchadim Lashem. So Rashi seems to give a very simple rule, and that is, kachay kadoshim is considered kachay Hashem, kachem kalim is not considered kachay Hashem. Stating that, we saw yesterday that it's not simple at all. And there's times that kachay kadoshim will not be considered kachay Hashem, and there are times that kachem kalim will be considered kachay Hashem. Basar kachay kadoshim le'achaz zrika, being that it becomes mutter le'kayanim, is no longer considered kachay Hashem. The halach is yotzu midei mi'ila, there's no mi'ila anymore. Emure kachem kalim le'achaz zrika, being that now it goes on the Mizbeach, it has a din, you're supposed to be makter it, it is considered Kachay Hashem. So Kachay Kadoshim wakes up in the morning as Kachay Hashem, meaning that it's subject to the laws of Mi'ila. Kachim Kalim wakes up in the morning, not Kachay Hashem, meaning it's not subject to the laws of Mi'ila. However, once the Avoida was done, that could change. Basar Kachay Kadoshim La'achazrika doesn't have Mi'ila anymore. And Murei Kachim Kalim La'achazrika does have Mi'ila. So if somebody asks you, how does Zrika affect Mi'ila? Depends. Kachay Kadoshim or Kachim Kalim. By Kachay Kadoshim, Zrika affects Mi'ila in the sense that it's mafkiyat from Mi'ila. It makes it that there should not be Mi'ila, only regarding the Basar. Not the Emurim, the Basar, the Chelik that's Nechal Kayanim. How does Zrika affect Kachim Kalim in the reverse? It's Machnes it lidei mi'ila. There's no mi'ila in kachim kalim. After zrika, the emurim, again, not the basar in this case, only the emurim, are now going to have the halachas mi'ila. The first mission the Masechta discussed, what would happen if there was a zrika psula, or any of the avodas were done ba'ofin pasul. So you're bringing kachim kadashim. The name of the parak is kachim kadashim. So we're discussing kachim kadashim, not kachim kalim. And the kohen did the avodah in the Beis HaMikdash, but there was a problem with the avodah. And the Mishnah gave several examples of what the problem might have been. The shechita of the kachim kadashim was done in darim. Kachim kadashim shechitasim betzafin. The shechita was done bedarim. Or the kabbalah was done bedarim. The shechita was done ba'alayla. Or the Zrika was done by Laila. Avodah has to be done during the day. At night you couldn't do Avodah. The only Avodah that was done at night was the Haktara. First Mishnah Masechtas Brachas. But Avodah had to be done dafka during the day. What would be if the Shechita was done by Laila? What would be done if the Zrika was done by Laila? Or there was a Machsheves Pigel of some sort. It was Chutzas Mani, Chutzam Kaimai. So would there be Mi'ila or would there not be Mi'ila? So the Mishnah said, the Halach is there's going to be Mi'ila. And at first glance, the Halach of the Mishnah is actually very simple. Because being that we're dealing with Kachi Kadashim, and the status quo of Kachi Kadashim always is We said, how does Kachi Gedashim wake up in the morning as Kachi Hashem, subject to the laws of Me'ila? The only way there would be no Me'ila by Kachi Gedashim is if there was a Zrika. Because Basar, Kachi Gedashim, La'achas, Zrika's done, and there's no Me'ila anymore. But over here, you didn't have a proper Zrika because there was a Psol in the Avodah. Being that there was a Psol in the Avodah, you didn't have a proper Zrika. So it's for that reason, the Halacha of the Mishnah, at first glance, is Pshita. And in fact, that was the first Kasha of the Gemara. Pshita. It's so obvious. Once you know the background of Me'ila, so you realize that Kachi Kadashim that didn't have kosher avoidus, avada has to be subject to the laws of Me'ila. Stating that, the Gemara said that it really is not so pashut. Why is it not so pashut? Because although it's true that Kachi Kadashim is considered Kachi Hashem, and the only way, theoretically, for it not to be subject to the laws of Me'ila anymore is if there was a proper Zrika. But why is it that Kachi Kadashim is Kachi Hashem? It's because it's Miyuchad L'Gvaya. Which means if you would do avoidus with a carbon and you would mess it up to the point that it's not miyuchad l'Hashem anymore, l'chura, that in and of itself would be a reason that it shouldn't be subject to the laws of Mila. And in fact, that's the halacha. Kachim shemesu, for example. If you have a chatas and it drops dead of a heart attack, what's the halacha? The halacha is that there's no Mila anymore. Why not? It's kachi kadoshim. There was no zrika. What was matter? The teretz is, it's true there was no Zrika, but you have to understand the fundamentals a little bit better of the way Me'ila works. The whole yesod of why Kachi Kadashim is considered Kachi Hashem and is subject to the laws of Me'ila without Zrika is because of the fact that it's Miyuchad L'Gvaya. If it dies, it's not Miyuchad L'Gvaya anymore. It has nothing to do with it anymore. So for that reason, of course, it's not going to be Me'ila. If that's the case, when you do an Avoida Psula with Kachi Kadashim, is it so pashut that there should be Me'ila? From the standpoint of there being a Zrika to be matred, it's pashut. There's no Zrika to be matred. But then again, what are you doing with this carbon? And if you're not doing anything with this carbon, then it should be treated like Kachim Shemesu. And if it's Kachim Shemesu, that in and of itself should be a reason that there should be no Me'ila. If that's the case, so why is it so pashut? Or is it so pashut, the halacha of the Mishnah, that states that Kachi Kadashim that had a pasul avoida, the halacha is that there's going to be Me'ila. The teretz of that question is, as we saw in yesterday's daf, is because it's a halacha that if you do an avoida psula with a carbon, there are times where even though the katchila, the carbon is pasul, you can't do anything with the carbon, but there's a concept of a haktara that can be done, bidiyeved, for a carbon that's pasul. It's what's known as im'alu lo yerdut. Halach is the certain karbanos that are pasul. They're pasul because you did something wrong. With halach is that even though the katchila you couldn't be makta deimurim, but b'di'evit if deimurim ended up going on the mizbeach, only deimurim, not the basar, but if deimurim ended up going on the mizbeach, the halach is im'alu lo yerdut. You would leave them there. And being that there's a halach of im'alu lo yerdut, so if you do an avoid of psul in a carbon, it's not like kachim shemesu. Because kachim shemesu is not miyuchad l'gvaya at all. There's no din l'katchila to do avoid with it, and even b'di'evit the halach would be im'alu yerdut. But being that we're dealing over here with a carbon that didn't just die, there was an avoida done with it, albeit an avoida psula, that's enough for the halacha to be a malu layerdu. Once the halacha is a malu layerdu, so then that's going to be considered miyuchad gvaya. The question, however, is it so pasha that all the cases of the Mishnah are a malu layerdu? And the Gemara brought a machloikis rabbi and Rabbi Yosef regarding the first case of the Mishnah. The first case of the Mishnah was where the shechita of the kachi kadashim wasn't done b'tzaf and it was done b'dar. So what's the halacha? A malu layerdu or a malu layerdu? So the Gemara made a talking to machloikis Rabbi Yudim Rabbi Shimon and Perek Mizbeach on the Kaddish, but what we need for our sugya is that the Gemara said that really it's a machloikis amayra. Rabbi holds a malu yerd. Rabbi Yehuda holds. Rabbi Yosef holds a malu lo yerdu. So the Gemara's kash is bishlam according to Rabbi Yosef. It's a malu lo yerdu. So it's vaiter going to be considered miyuchad l'gvaya. So if it's miyuchad l'gvaya, it's miyuchad l'Hashem. It's kache Hashem. So you understand the halacha in the Mishnah. But according to Rabbi that holds a malu yerdu, so it's not miyuchad l'Hashem anymore. If it's not miyuchad l'Hashem anymore, so why is the halacha? So why is the halacha that there's going to be meila? And the Gemara said that you have to say that according to Rabbi that holds a malu yerdu, when the Mishnah says that there is Me'ila, it means Me'ila Midrabbanan. It doesn't mean Me'ila Midrayisa. It means only Me'ila Midrabbanan. That means if you hold that Kachi Kadashim, Sheshachtim Bidarim, Im'alu Lo Yerdu, so then the Mishnah is discussing a case of kachim that's regular kachay Hashem, it's miyuchad l'gvaya on the deiraisa level, because you have the halacha of imalu lo yerdu, so you're going to have a regular milah midairaisa. If, however, you hold them alu yerdu, that means that it's not miyuchad l'gvaya at all. Really, on the deiraisa level, it's like kachim shemesu. If it's like kachim shemesu, then there shouldn't be milah midairaisa. So what then does the Mishnah mean when it says that there is Me'ila? What it must mean is that there's Me'ila Midrabanan. If that's the case, the Gemara asks a kasha. We'll speak up the kasha outside first, and then we'll go into the sugya. And that is, Ula was Mechadesh, seemingly, that Kachim Shemesu, that Lachis is no Me'ila Midrabanan, said there is Me'ila Midrabanan. What was Ula's Chiddush? So Pasha, you learn, Ula's Chiddush was, maybe, that there's no Me'ila Midrabanan. But the Gemara says, I don't really need Ula for that. Pasha, that there's no Me'ila Midrabanan. Because if it's not Kachim Hashem, it's not Me'yuchad Hashem, why would there be the Me'ila Midrabanan? Okay, so you'll tell me maybe Ula's Chiddush was not that there's no Me'ila Midrabanan. The Chiddush is that there is Me'ila Midrabanan. But the Gemara says, if you learn our Mishnah like Rabbah, that's a Mefurish Mishnah. Because the Mishnah then really is saying that when there's no Me'ila Midrabanan, Kachim Shemesu is Me'ila Midrabanan. The Mishnah wasn't talking about Kachim Shemesu, but the Mishnah was talking about Kachim Kadashim Sheshachtim Bedarim, which according to Rabbah, being that the Halach is in Malu Yerdu, it's essentially Kachim Shemesu. And the Mishnah says Ma'ilamem, which means Midrabanan. So if that's the case, don't you have a Mefurish Mishnah that's really saying Ula Zalacha? So Le'matanina Lahadula. That's what the Gemara means in those first four words. So isn't that then the Mishnah, the way Rabbah is going to understand the Mishnah, teaching me Ula's halacha? So what I need Ula for, what Ula said, Rabbi Yochanan says the Gemara, no. Avagav tanina, it's richter Ula. So I would have thought, hacha loy bedilin minhain. You could have always made the toss and thought that maybe in our Mishnah, the Chachamim went ahead and they said that there's going to be a Me'ila Midrabanan, meaning there's no Me'ila Midrabanan. The Rabbanan will go as a Me'ila Midrabanan. Why? Because we're dealing with something that really had a Shechita. Being that we had a Shechita, people may view it as something you could have anah from. Something that you want to be in close proximity to. So the Chachamim said, being that people may engage in this animal, so you have to make a gzera. You have to say there's an isamila. Ava kachem shemesu. But as it relates to kachem that just died, hayul b'dilam inhaim, be that it's an avela, Rashi says an avela is always most yidden. So people anyways are staying away from it. So being that people are anyways going to stay away from it, maybe ma'afilamila d'rabbanan loy. Maybe there's no reason for the chacham to go ahead and impose an isamila. Kamash malan, that was the chiddush. You're right. Ula is not being mechadish the concept of milam d'rabbanan. That we know. We know from our Mishnah, the way Rabbah learns. What Ula is being mechadish is that the isam mi'ila the Rabbanan applies even to Kachim Shemei. So why is it a Chiddush? Because you would think that maybe the Rabbanan didn't have to make a Gzerah not to benefit from something that people are anyways not going to benefit from. Similar to the concept of a Milso Deloy Shechicha, like Gazru Be'Rabbanan. The Rabbanan only made takanas when they thought there was a clear and present danger. But just to go ahead and make Gzerahs and takanas for the sake of it, that's not what the Rabbanan do. So if they weren't really concerned that someone's going to go ahead and even go near this Kachim Shemesu, it's something that naturally people stay away from. So why impose an Issa Me'ila Midrabanan? That was Ula's Chiddush. So the Chiddush wasn't the concept of a Me'ila Midrabanan. The Chiddush was that Me'ila Midrabanan applies even to this case. Says the Gemara, but do I need Ula for that? Mesu Namatanina, I know that as well from a Mishnah later in the Masechta. Hanenem and Achatos, if someone has an offer from a carbon Chatos, Keshi Chayan, the Chatos over there that the Mishnah is discussing is a Chatos Balasmo. That's important for Pashab Shan and the Gemara. So it was a Chatos Balasmo. Someone had anah from it. While it's alive, you can't be mayel unless you do something to cause the chatas to depreciate. You were poi game in the chatas. If, however, this chatas balasmum was dead, as long as you have any little bit of mi'ila, that's enough, or any little bit of anah, that's enough for it to be considered mi'ila, says the Gemara. Now that's pashat, that this mi'ila that the Mishnah over there is discussing is a milam d'rabbanan. It can't be a milam d'raisa. Because once an animal dies, there's no milam d'raisa. It's not kachi Hashem. Chatas shemesa is not going to have milam d'raisa. And still, what do you see? Still, you see that the halacha is that there's a Me'ila Midrabanan. So you see clearly that there's Me'ila Midrabanan even for Kachim Shemeso. So if you see it even for Kachim Shemeso, again, what's Ula's Chiddush? You're telling me Ula's Chiddush is not the concept of a Me'ila Midrabanan, but that Me'ila Midrabanan applies even in a case where the Kachim just died. That's also a Mefurish Mishnah. So there's some issues here with the Girsa. We'll go with the Shita Mekubetzis' Girsa in Oysalaf. So Kedai Dechamina says the Gemara. Now, I would have thought Chatas Balas Mom, Hoyev Leichazi Lekapara. Maybe Chatas Balas Mom is different. Because being that it's Leichazi Lekapara, because it was a Balas Mom, Loi Bedila Mina. So maybe that's something that people aren't going to stay away from. Again, these are psychological svaras. There'd still be mocking to say that maybe there's a difference between a chatas balas mum and an ordinary chatas. A chatas balas mum, maybe over there, there's a svara that people don't go away from that because it wasn't a kachim that was chazik la'krova while it was alive. So over there, you have to be more concerned, even though it died, maybe then you would have to make the gzera. As opposed to kachim, that while it was alive, nobody was going near it. And now it died, it's an avela. So kachim shemesu, that became an avela, no one's touching this, and you would have thought again that maybe over here the chachamim didn't have to make gzera. That was ulas chiddush, that you have to make gzera over here. But the Gemara asks another kachim. Kachim shemesu, yispa me'ilo. So this is not a kasha on ula. This is really a kasha on the previous Mishnah. Is it true that Chatas the Shemesa has Mila? It's before Mishnah we just said. But now we learned in the Mishnah Chatois HaMesois. So we know from a Sechtes Tmura that there were five Chatois where the din was they had to go to Misa. Umois HaHochos LeYam HaMelech, or the equivalent thereof, where you didn't have the carbon but you had money. So what's an example of a Chatas HaMesa? Chatas Shekipru Baleh. So you have an animal, you mafresh it, and then you got kapar in some other way. The ma'is equivalent is where someone was mafresh money for a carbon chattis and then he died. So whatever you do with the chattis, you do with the money. Now the money can't kill the money. You don't allow it to die. So what you do is ma'is ha'holchis li'yam ha'melech. But it's the same principle. It's the same concept. This is going to be off limits. But what's the halacha? Lo'y nehenin, which means there's an iser hana midrabanon, v'loy mayalin. However, there is no iser mi'ila, even midrabanon. So you see from here that a chattis shemesa has no mi'ila at all. Isn't it a steer? Here you're telling me chattis has... And Ula was Mechadish, that really all Kachim Shemesu has. Here you have a Mefurish Halacha. The Chattas is different. Because Chattas, wherever the Halacha is, that it's Lamisa Asla, the Chomish Chattas HaMesos, there's a special Chiddish. Loi Nenin and Loi Mayalin. Loi Nenin and Loi. The two Lois don't mean the same thing. Loi Nenin means you are not, thou shalt not have Ana. Loi Mayalin, it means it's not subject to the laws of Me'ila. But the Gemara says, Amri, again, another Svarah. Chattas HaMesos, Bechayeh and Bedilim and Hoin. Apparently, people were very familiar with the laws of the Chomish Chattas HaMesos. It's complicated to us, but apparently this was common knowledge back in the day. So people knew, oh, Chomish Chattas HaMesos, I'm not touching that. I'm not going near there. So over there, people were bubble while it was alive, for sure after it died. So that's something that people are so removed from that you don't even have to make the gzeira. As opposed to regular kachim shemesu, over there the halach is going to be different. Excel. So the Gemara is going to go back now to the machloikis between Rabba and Rav Yosef, which we saw in yesterday's daf, which we went through again in our long-winded introduction, which I think is necessary, which is a machloikis regarding kachay kadashim sheshachtan bedare. Im alu yerdu or im alu lar yerdu? Rabbi Yosef said im alu lo yerdu. Rabbi said im alu yerdu. Eisvei Rabbi Yosef l'Rabbi. Rabbi Yosef asked the kasha from Rabbi. Chada migay chada, v'chada migay chada. And it was a question that was really a compilation of three mishnayos. Meaning he took three mishnayos and he made inferences from these three mishnayos, and together with the three mishnas, he would ask the kasha. Where are these mishnayos? So these are all the mesechtes zvachin. The first mishnah is v'kulon ein mitamin begadim abeis abliyah. So really, in order to know the first mishnah, you'd have to know another mishnah because it starts with the word v'kulon. So the first mishnah, here's the background. It berek chatas ha'oif. So this is zvachin daf samach vavam and aleph, discusses a chatas ha'oif that was brought in a proper way or even in an improper way. And it mentions a whole bunch of different cases where the chata sa'oif was brought. Most of them are examples of where it was brought improperly. The one that we're going to need is that the malika of the chata sa'oif was done shaloi bim kaimai. So it was done as if it was an oila sa'oif. That's the part of the v'chulon we need. So v'chulon is an all-inclusive word. It's referring to a whole mishnah. Zvachim samich vavam et aleph. Many tsayurim. All of them are complicated. We just need one of them. The halacha that a chata sa'oif that was brought like an oil saif, that sif kata. So a chata saif that was brought like an oil saif, and all the other cases, it's considered a good malika. So much so that you don't have the unique tumah that you ordinarily have by the nevela of an oif tar. So a nevela, in addition to being asav achil, is also tameh. The nevela of an oif tahar is tameh, but it's metame in a very unique way. If someone puts it in his mouth, if it's in his beis ablia, it's metame the begadim that he's wearing. This is kachim 101. So the halach is v'chulam ein metame begadim abeis ablia umay alim behem. Additionally, you have meila chutz with one exception. Chatas oif she'asal lemate kamasa chatas oif l'shem chatas, which is a very long-winded way of saying you brought the chatas oif properly. In that case, the halach is there's no me'ila. The reason there's no me'ila is because it was done properly. So if it was done properly, there's not going to be a me'ila. Either way, so all these cases, essentially what the Mishnah is saying is, even though it was done improperly, still ain't mitame begadim abeis ablia. It's considered a melika. And it's a malika to the degree that you're not going to have tumas nevela. Additionally, you're going to have me'ilah. The reason you're going to have me'ilah is because it wasn't done properly. If it was done properly, it would be the zrika, so to speak, would be the hazar, the mitzvah, would be me'ilah. But it wasn't done properly, except for the case where it was done properly, then there's no me'ilah. But in all cases, even where it wasn't done properly, this is what we need, it's not mitame begodim abe sabli. Viktani, you love the second Mishnah. Kol shayim sulu ba'kodesh, edi mitame begodim abe sabli. The Mishnah later, it makes a rule and says all those cases where I said that even though it was done improperly, still it's not metame begodim abeis abliyah, they're all referred to as psulim that were psulim b'kodesh. V'chol shalai yehoyu psulim b'kodesh, metame begodim abeis abliyah. So everything in that Mishnah is quote unquote psulim b'kodesh. V'ktani, then there's a third Mishnah that says kol shalai yehoyu psulim b'kodesh, emalu lo yerdu. Anything that's psulim b'kodesh is emalu lo yerdu. So let's do the math. You have a Mishnah that mentions that if the melika of the chatas oif was done in the wrong place, it's not metame begodim abeis abliyah. I have a second Mishnah that says that if it's not metame begodim abeis abliyah, it's psulei b'kodesh. Which means if the malika was done in the wrong place, it's psulei b'kodesh. I have a third Mishnah that says that if it's anything that's psulei b'kodesh, is already a Mishnah in a different parak, mizbech l'kodesh. Anything that's psulei b'kodesh, imalu lo yerdo. So do the math. If malika in the wrong place is psulei b'kodesh, and psulei b'kodesh is imalu lo yerdo, that means malika in the wrong place is imalu lo yerdo. If malika in the wrong place is imalu lo yerdo, then shchit in the wrong place should also be imalu lo yerdo. If that's the case, bishleima, according to Rav Yosef, kachi kadosh and shashach the medarim, that's the wrong place, supposed to be betzafin. You went ahead and did a medarim. The halacha is imalu lo yerdo, it's great. But according to Rabba, that holds that the wrong place is imalu yerdo. So if that's the case, why is kachi kadoshim sheshachtem bedarim any different than chatas oif shenim lekoshalayim kaimai? In both cases, the initial avoda was done in the wrong place. Malika is to an oif, what shchita is to a behema. So if malika's chatas oif in the wrong place is a malu lo yerdu, then shouldn't shchita in the wrong place also be a malu lo yerdu? If that's the case, it's a raya to Rav Yosef, it's a kasha to Rava, and in fact, the Gemara says, Tiyufta, the Rabba Tiyufta. Zok the Gemara, Hada Pliyiva, Rabba Rav Yosef, Shita Lu Rabba Lazar. This machloik is between Rabba and Rav Yosef, again, regarding Kachei Kadoshim, Sheshachtam Bedarim, Im Alu Yerdu, or Im Alu Lo Yerdu. So, it was a machloikis. Rabbi said, yerdu. Rabbi Yosef said, lo yerdu. Rabbi said, yerdu. Rabbi Yosef said, lo yerdu. Right? It's a machloikis. They're fighting this out. Says the Gemara, that even though Rabbi and Rabbi Yosef took strong positions, we're arguing, pshit leib Rabbi Lazar. We know Rabbi Lazar held like either Rabbi or Rabbi Yosef, but it's not clear whether he held like Rabbi or he held like Rabbi Yosef. Says, what does that mean? No, Rabbi Lazar, because Rabbi Lazar said the following. He said, Oilas bamas yochid, shechnisa lifnim, kol tua mechitzos. So we know that there were times that Yidden were allowed to bring karbonis on a bama. As long as it was a base on Mikdash, you weren't allowed to bring a carbon on a bama. Not just that, as long as the Mishkan was in the Midbar, the 39 years, or the many, 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 many years that the Mishkan was in Shiloh, you also weren't allowed to bring a carbon on a bama. But there were many interim periods where you were allowed to bring a carbon on a bama. When the Mishkan was in Noiv, and Givon, and in Gilgal, during those periods, it was okay to bring a carbon on a bama. And there were two types of bamas. This is the topic of the last parak of Masechta Zvachim. There were two types of bamas. There was a bamas yachid, and there was a bamas sir. Bamas yachid was a bama that you could have in your backyard. Every yachid could have had his own little private bama, and he could bring karbanis. It was something that was considered okay. But there was also a bama sibur. There was a mishkan. So for example, the 14 years that the Yidden were in Gilgal, as they were conquering and settling the land in the times of Yeshua Benon, there was a mishkan. The mishkan that the Yidden had taken with them from the Midbar into Eretz Yisrael was there. They erected it. There was a mizbeach there. There was Moshe Rabbeinu, Bitzalel. You had the original mizbeach over there. But the mishkan didn't have the same level of Kedusha as it had in the Midbar. And as a result, even though there was a Mishkan, but you were still allowed to bring Karbanas if you wanted to in your private Bama. The Mizbeach in the Mishkan during the Shas Heter Bamos was referred to by Chazal as a Bama, but not a regular individual Bama because it belonged to the Tzibur. It was a Bamas Tzibur. So there's a concept of a Bamas Yachid. There's a concept of a Bamas Tzibur. Now, any carbon that was brought on a Bamas Tzibur had to comply to a certain Shulchan Aruch. And that Shulchan Aruch was not the same, but very similar to the Shulchan Aruch that you had as it relates to bringing karbanos in the Beis HaMikdash. So, for example, if you're bringing kachik gadashim out of Bama Sibur, you had a shechta b'tzofen. Kachik gadashim shechitas b'tzofen, even though it's not the Beis HaMikdash, even though it's not even the Mishkan Shiloh, it's not even the Mishkan in the Midbar. It's a shas heter b'mas. But it doesn't matter. Still, it's kachik gadashim. It's on the Bama Sibur. There's still going to be a concept of you needing to do it in a certain way. You're going to have to do it b'tzofen. Let's say somebody lived in a shas heter b'mas. It was makdash a carbon. I want to bring a carbon oil. So what's the halacha? Could I bring it on my Bamas Yachid? Do I have to bring it on my Bamas? Like, what dictated how I'm going to treat this carbon? So what dictated it was what the person's kavana was when he was makdish this carbon. If I had in mind Bamas Yachid, you treat it like a Bamas Yachid. If I had in mind Bamas Sibir, you treat it like a Bamas Sibir. Again, we said it. There's a big difference. Because an oila is kachik gadashim. So do I have to do a petzafin on the Bamas Sibur, or can I do it in my backyard? There's no tzafin in my backyard. So really what mattered was what my kavana was. Rabbi Lozu was discussing the following case. A person had an oilas Bamas Yachid. What does it mean, an oilas Bamas Yachid? He was makdish an oil, and he had in mind he's going to bring it on a Sunday afternoon. He had in mind that this is going to be his oila that he's going to bring on his Bamas Yachid. Shech Nisa Lifnev's Gishmak. And now he brought it into Mishkan Gilgal. So it was brought into the Mechitzos. Kol Tua Mechitzos L'chal Davar. The halach is that the Mechitzos give this carbon Kedusha. It elevates it. It goes from being an oilas Bamas Yachid to now an oilas Bamas Sibur, which means it has to comply now with the halachas of Bamas Sibur. That's the halach. Tremendous Chiddush. So even though when this Kedusha was created, it was an Oilas Bamas Yachid. But once it enters the Mechitzos, there's a Chiddush, Koltua Mechitzos, and now elevates its status, you have to treat it like a Bamas Sibur. Oh, you Rabbi Loza. On this Rabbi Loza, I had a Shaila. Oilas Bamas Yachid, Shechnisa, Shenifsala. What would be if you had an Oilas Bamas Yachid that entered the Mechitzos? Now it became an Oilas Bamas Tzibur. And because it's an Oilas Bamas Tzibur, and then it became possible. And you put a murim, by mistake, on the mizbech. Emolu yerdu or emolu lo yerdu? So essentially, he wanted to know if the halach is going to be emolu yerdu or emolu lo yerdu. But with regards to a case of psul, now what kind of psul was it? So the Gemara clearly is saying that the psul was where you shechted it bedara, as opposed to shechting it betzafen. Otherwise, it would have nothing to do with the machlekes Rabbi and Rabbi Yosef. So the psul is where you shechted it bedara, and now by mistake the emurim ended up on the mizbech. So is it going to be a malu yerdu or is it a malu yarder? So this is mamish Rabbi and Rabbi Yosef Shaila, right? Is it Rabbi and Rabbi Yosef Shaila? It's very similar. You have a case of kachik kadashim. You shechted it bedara. You put it on the mizbeach by mistake. It wasn't supposed to. Kolan egeb mizbeach yikdash. Perik Mizbech Mikadish, the halach is emolu lo yerdu, or maybe emolu yerdu. That is essentially Rabbi Rabbi Yosef Shaila. Wrong. Because if this was Rabbi Rabbi Yosef Shaila, why is he talking about such a convoluted case? I mean, Rabbi Rabbi Yosef's case is complicated enough. We don't have to add 7 wrinkles to make it more complicated. What was Rabbi Rabbi Yosef Shaila? Kachik kadashim shchitasim betzafen. Right? If you say karbanos in the morning, you know that. Kachik kadashim shchitasim betzafen. You shechted it by mistake. Or bid mesid, whatever, you shechted the bedarim. Now they murim by mistake, went on the mizbeach. So, shayla, molu yerdu, molu yerdu. That wasn't Rabbi Loza's case. Rabbi Loza's case was, we have an oilas bamas yachid that entered Mishkan Gilgal, kol tua mechitzes. Then you shechted the bedarim, and then it went on the mizbeach. And molu yerdu, but you have to know 17 blind and kachin to know the case. So, molu yerdu, or molu lo yerdu. Why didn't he ask a simple case? Why didn't he clear a shayla? Every time you shech kachin gadash and bedarim, and molu yerdu, and molu lo yerdu. Says the Gemara, it's clear. It's clear from Rabbi Loza Shaila that the classic case of Kachik Kadashim, Sheshach and Bedarim, whether it's Alu Yerd or Malu Yerd, that he knew. He had no Shaila. It was Pasha to him. It was Pasha to him. The question is, what did he hold? Is it Pasha to him that Imalu Yerdu, or was it Pasha Imalu Lo Yerdu? So the Gemara says you can hear it both ways. You can hear it, Iker Rabba, Iker Rabbi Yosef. Because either way, you could understand this. How so? I'd kind of come around. Maybe he held a grab. Maybe he held ordinarily emolu yerdu. But maybe, when did Rabbi say emolu yerdu? That's elemishon the mechitza ketikna. Pasla, shaloi ketikna loi pasla. Maybe the reason halacha usually is emolu yerdu because you're dealing with regular kachay kadashim. So your regular kachay kadashim, your perfect kachay kadashim, that becomes pasla, emolu yerdu. but this is not a real Kachi Kedoshim. I mean, it's Kachi Kedoshim, but it's not a real Kachi Kedoshim that needs Safin, because it started off as an Oivas Bamas Yachid. It got some second level of Kedusha, maybe, through Kaltua Mechitzis. So it's true the Mechitzis have an ability to give it Kedusha, but maybe not enough Kedusha that you should say that a Malu Yerdu. Maybe Fakir, maybe that Lach should be a Malu Yerdu. Oidom, you can argue that maybe Rabbi Lazar held with regards to your regular Kachi Kedashim Shashachtim Bedarim, like Rav Yosef, really held that Lach is a Malu Yerdu. But you can argue, Afilo Rav Yosef Domim also Loisered, maybe that's there because Mechitza Ketikna Kolto, Shaloi Ketikna Le Kolto, maybe regular Kachi Kedashim, Rav Yosef and Rabbi Lazar held a Malu Yerdu, because a Malu Yerdu is based on the Mechitzos, it's based on the Kedusha, saying that even though it's possible, it could stay on the Mizbeach. So maybe a carbon that belongs here, a carbon that didn't just get Kedusha through Kaltua Mechitzes, it was a regular carbon oila that had a din shechitas and betzaf and mitchilas priyasi. Maybe over there there's a lach of a malo lo yerdu. Maybe there the Mizbeach could be Mekadesh. There you say that it's ketikno kulto that it has the din of lo yerdu. But as opposed to this, maybe you don't have the din of malo yerdu. So there's really two ways to spin it. You could say that maybe this should be worse. You could say it should be better as it relates to lach of malo yerdu. You could say that this is worse than your classic case. Why? Because maybe over here you don't have the Kedushas Mizbeach enough for you to be able to say a malu lo yerdu, or maybe just the opposite. Maybe over here, the Kedusha is not such a Kedusha in the first place. So if you know, the Kedusha is not such a Kedusha in the first place, so over here, went on there, meaning it's not such a psul. It's not such a psul, you're going to say a malu lo yerdu, but a regular Kachi Kedoshim, Shashachna Medarim, being that it's a regular Kachi Kedoshim, the psul is a bigger psul. So from the Kedusha's Mizbeach, you can hear that maybe the Mizbeach is Mekadesh more the Oilas, Bamas, Tzibur, Mitchilas, Priyasai. Or you can argue from the psul's perspective, it's a big psul. So you can hear maybe Rav Elazar held in the classic case for sure malu yerdu. You can hear maybe held in the classic case malu lo yerdu. Bottom line is, what Rav Elazar hold? What's the pshitas Rav Elazar shayla as it relates to Rav Elazar shayla of oilas bamas yochid shehechnisa lefnim where katua mitzchitzas lechol davar? What would be if you shechted a pedarim and then they murim went on the mizbech with the evid malu lo yerdu? Meaning Rav Elazar shayla. Not what did Rabbi Elazar hold regarding the machlokes Rabbi Rabbi Yosef, but as it relates to Rabbi Elazar's shayla, says the Gemara Teiku, another lam l'shagama. Amar Rav Gidla Amar Rav Zrikas Pigol Eini Moitzim Midei Meila B'Kachi Kedoshim Veini Maybe Lidei Meila B'Kachim Kalim. So we said Kachi Kedoshim starts off Kachi Hashem, you have Meila. Kachim Kalim starts off not Kachi Hashem, you don't have Meila. Stating that Zrika impacts Kachi Kedoshim and Kachim Kalim with regards to the laws of Meila. Baser Kachi Kedoshim La'achas Zrika, there's no Meila. Baser a Mure Kachi a mure kachim kalim lachas rika, there is meila. Said Rav Gidol in the name of Rav that's only if it was a regular zrika. Zrika's pigel, however, any moitzim in the meila b'kachim kadashim, any maybe the meila b'kachim kalim, it has no impact. Says the Gemara. Yosef Abaye b'kavod al shmeita. Abaye was sitting and he said over this halacha. Is for Rav Abaye. So our papa heard Abaye's halacha, what he heard from Rav Gidol and Rav, and he asked him a question from a mishnah mesechtes menaches. So we know that the carbon toida was brought together with breads. 40 breads. 30 were matzah, 10 were chametz. But there were 40 breads that had to be brought together with the carbon toida. Those breads had kedusha sagof, just like the toida had kedusha sagof. But it only got kedusha sagof after you brought the carbon toida. Which chelik of the carbon toida did you have to bring in order for the breads to get kedusha? The shechita. The shechita of the carbon toida is what gave kedusha to the breads. That's Toida 101. So it's a shoychet, that's a Toida. Lifnim. What happens if someone shechted the carbon Toida in its proper place? It was in the Azar. But the lachma chutz the Toida. The lachmi Toida were outside of the chayma. Loi kidesh es halechem. The halach is the lechem doesn't get kedusha. It has to be in the chayma in order for it to get kedusha. Shachta actually carbon panabataner. What if you shechted the carbon Toida before you baked the breads? The breads had to be baked in order for them to get kedusha. So what happens if you shechted the carbon Toida before you baked the breads? Afilu carbon kulo chos meachzmeim. Or what if all the breads were baked except for one? Like kodesh alechem, it doesn't get kedusha again. Shachta chutzos zman v'chutzam kaima. What happens if you did the shechita chutzos zman v'chutzam kaima? The halach is kodesh alechem. The breads do get kedusha. What do you see from there? Almon pigol meisi lalidei meila. So you see that a shechita, even if it was done with a machsheves pigel, has an ability to be mekadesh to lach mitoida. Now, you need a proper shechita in order to be mekadesh to lach mitoida. Still, you see, a shechita's pigel could be mekadesh to lach mitoida. Zoysoy meres, just because it's pigel doesn't mean it doesn't have an ability to be mekadesh it. So the Gemara's kasha is that if a shechita's pigel could be mekadesh to lach mitoida, then a zrika's pigel should be able to impact the laws of Me'ilah. Hatzad HaShavit, we're talking about two different halachas. We're talking about Toida, here we're talking about the Kachi Kadashim, or the halachas of Basar and Emure, Basar Kachi Kadashim and Emure Kachim Kal. Here we're talking about Shechita, we're talking about Zerika. But Hatzad HaShavit Shavahen is Pigol. So is an Avoida that's done in a Pigol digger way, is it considered an Avoida? Could it do what the Avoida is usually supposed to do? Or can it not? Here I have a Mishnah that says Shechita's pigol has an ability to be mekadesh d'lechem. That means, despite the fact that it's pigol, doesn't impact its ability to be mekadesh d'lechem. So why did Rav Gidl say in the name of Rav that a zrika's pigol can't impact me'ilah? You see, from shechita's pigol being able to be mekadesh d'lechem mitoida, that the fact that it's pigol doesn't bother me. It's neither here nor there. So if that's the case, shouldn't the same halacha be as relates to zrika? Now, before we go back, what would be the svara? Right? What would be the svara to say that pigol shouldn't impact? How is it possible that a shechita's pigol, how is it possible that a shechita's pigol can be mekadesh lach mitoida? It's a shechita psula, so if it's a shechita psula, how can it be mekadesh lach mitoida? The teretz is based on what we spoke at yesterday, and it's based on, again, a very important yusoid in the world of kachim, and that is karetzos kosher, kachetzos pasul. In order for an animal, a carbon, to become pigol, you have to do four kosher avoidas. When you have to do four kosher avoidas? If it's pigol, by definition, it's not a kosher avoida. It has to be a situation where lule, remove the pigol, it's going to be considered a kosher avoida. So there's a svara to say that a pigol dig avoida, being that it has to have a chshivas of avoida as it relates to establishing the pigol, is maybe considered an avoida for other things as well. So on the one hand, from Menachis, you see that a shechita's pigol, being that it has to have a chshivas of a shechita for the halacha of artzah's kosher, kach artzah's basel, it's considered a shechita to be mechadish alach mitoida. And yet, Rav Gidl said in the name of Rav, as it relates to Zrika, it doesn't work that way. So the Gemara says, Ishtik. Abaye heard this kasha, he was quiet. He thought it was a good question. He didn't know how to be miyashiv Rav Gidl and Rav's halacha from a Mishnah Masechtas Menachos. He also, the Kami to Rav Abba, when it came to Rav Abba, Amalei, he told him, Bizrika. No, it's two different things. How can you compare the two cases? The case of Lach Mitoida, we're discussing Shechita. Over here, we're not discussing Shechita. Over here, we're discussing Zrika. There's a difference between a Shechita and a Zrika. A Shechita's pigol, that's okay. But a zrika's pigol, that's not okay. What's the beer in that? So that really segues into the next stuff, and we will stop here.